Okay, we continue. Masechus Beitzah, Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph. We're going to begin at the end of the fifth wide line. Omer Mar. The Gemara quotes a statement that we learned previously. Omer Mar, Mikan, Omer Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Hanosein Pasatinok, Tzorech Lahodia Li'imo. That if a person goes ahead and gives bread to a child, so he has to inform the child's mother that he's the one who gave the gift. So says the Gemara, Mai Ovidle. So what can a person do in order to ensure that the child will go ahead and inform his parents of this gift? So says Gemara, Shayifle Mishcha Umolile Kochala. That what he does is he rubs on some oil on him, and he should apply some paint to his face around the eyes. And this way, when the child comes home and the parents see that he has a mark on his face, so this will remind the child to go ahead and to inform the mother that he has received the gift. The chiddush of the Gemara being that you don't actually have to go ahead and literally inform the mother that I was the one who gave him the gift, but to make some sort of siman that the parent will notice, and this will then, you know, enable them to realize that the child was given the gift. So this is sufficient. This is sufficient. So the Gemara says, "Va'ida the chashina l'kshafim mai." But what about nowadays, where we are concerned about the fact that some people are involved in kshafim, in illicit forms of magic, of sorcery, and perhaps the parents will think that somebody had practiced some sort of kishuf with the child, which is why the child has oil or paint. What are we going to do today? There has to be some alternative, because if a parent sees that a child has these markings on the face, the parent may become unnecessarily alarmed that something terrible occurred. Summer of Papa, so says the Gemara, what you could do today is shayiflemi also amin. You can go ahead and rub something of the same type of the food that he was given. So this way, the parent will realize that there was no kishuf over here, there was no sorcery used, but rather, somebody gave the child a little chocolate, so there's chocolate on his face. Somebody gave the child a little butter, so there's butter on his face, so that's fine, that's sufficient. This way, the parent will realize that the child was given a gift. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum, Rabbi Shiva Yechai, Kol mitzvah shenasam lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, all of the mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klai Yisrael, nasam lehem b'far hesya, they were given in public. Chutz, with the exception of Mishabish, shenasam lehem b'tzina, Shabbos was given in Sina in private. Shenemar, as it says, Beini Vemin Yisrael, Os Hili Olam. That it says regarding Shabbos that it is Os, it is a sign, an eternal sign between me and Bnei Yisrael. So the implication of the Pasuk seems to be that this is something that's private, this is something that's personal between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klai Yisrael. So from here, Rav Shimon Yochai says that Shabbos was given B'tzina. So says Gemari Hachi, lo liyon shunachrim aleha. If it's true that Shabbos was given to Klai Yisrael b'tzina without the knowledge of anyone else, so then why should Nachrim, why should Gentiles be punished for their refusal to accept this mitzvah? Rashi says that we find elsewhere that Gemari tells us, shechazar HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'anishan ala Torah v'yala mitzvos. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and holds the other nations accountable for their failure to accept Torah mitzvos. Now, if Shabbos was given b'tzina, it's really an os b'ni v'mid Yisrael, so that means that the other nations were never informed of this mitzvah. So how can they be punished for failure to accept a mitzvah that they would never offer? So the Gemara gives several answers. First, says the Gemara, Shabbos aduye yodinu, matan schara lo adinu. Says the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did make them aware of the mitzvah of Shabbos. So therefore, they can be punished for failure to accept Shabbos. However, matan schara lo adinu, that he did not inform them of the reward. This is something that was given to Klal Yisrael b'tzina. Iba Yisema says, another answer, Matan Schar Nami Odinu, that the truth of the matter is, he informed the Umos HaOlam even of Matan Schar, the great reward of Shabbos. However, Neshama Yisera Lo Odinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not inform the Nachrim, the Umos HaOlam, of the Neshama Yisera, the additional soul that a person receives on Shabbos. The Amar of Shimon Lakish, Neshama Yisera Nosin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'ad Emer of Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to a person an Eshama Yisera, an extra soul, on Erev Shabbos when Shabbos begins. L'motzoi Shabbos, nok l'noso himenu. And this Neshama Yisera is taken from a person at the conclusion of Shabbos. In Nehemiah, as it says, Shavas v'yinafash. Literally, Shavas v'yinafash means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested on the seventh day. he rested. Shavas v'inafash, that he stopped doing work. V'inafash, and he rested. However, over here it's explained a pidrush, a different way. Kevan sheshavas vay ovda nefesh. That once the Shabbos has been completed, so woe to the person who has now lost the soul, meaning this extra soul, the neshama yaseva that he has lost. So this is something that was given exclusively to Klal Yisrael and not to the Umos HaOlam. What exactly is this concept of a neshama yaseira? So it says Rashi, neshama yaseira rochav lev limenucha ulesimcha, that a person has an expanded heart in order to be able to rest and to celebrate. The person is more open to enjoying, to relaxing, to eating and drinking, and this is not something that is going to overwhelm him, or it's not something that would cause the sort of reaction that a person perhaps would have typically during the week. So the concept of Neshama Yaseira, says Rashi, is a person just has a more expansive soul, which allows them to experience Shabbos on a more full, a more complete level. Okay, the Gemara now continues and talks about the subject of the Mishnah, namely Erev Tavshilin. And it said in the Mishnah, Osa Adam Tavshil Erev Yomtiv, that a person should prepare a cooked dish on Erev Yomtiv, and this will be used as his Erev. So says the Gemara, Merabaye, Lo Shanu Ala Tavshil of a Paslo, that the Mishnah says specifically a Tavshil, a cooked dish, can be used for an Erev, but not pas, not bread. So says the Gemara, Maishno Paslo, why not? What is different about bread that it cannot be used as part of the Erev? So Ilema says, the Gemara, you're going to tell me, perhaps, midi di malafis be'inan, perhaps you need something which accompanies bread, upas lo malafta, but bread itself does not accompany bread. Bread itself is the staple food, but it is not something midi di malafis. Why would you think that you need a midi di malafis, says Rashi, the mukhra milsa shasui le Shabbos, because then it will be evident that you're doing something, you're preparing something that will be used on Shabbos. Upas lo, why, says Rashi, because every day you have bread. So maybe you'd think that what? That you dafkin need a mitzvah de malafes, something which accompanies bread, but not bread itself. So says the Gemara, that can't be. Why? Because a dish, a tavshil, let's say, that's made of daisa, of pounded grains. So this is also not considered a mitzvah de malafes. It's not something which accompanies bread. Damar Reb Zeira, how do we know that? Because Reb Zeira said, Hani bavloi tipshoi. The Ochli Nama Benahama. He says, the Babylonians, the people from Babel, are foolish because they eat bread together with bread. In other words, they had a custom of having this Tavshil, this Daisa together with Lechem, and they said they're eating bread with bread. But yet, the Nechumi Bar Zachai says, in the name of Abaye, that you can make an Eruv with Daisa. Why? Because after all, it's a cooked dish. It's a cooked dish made of grain, but it's not a midi de malafes. So it's clear that you do not require midi de malafes in order for an Eruv. So then we return to the original question, why then is it that pas, that bread itself, cannot be used for an Eruv? So says the Gemara another answer. El Gemara says, El midi de lo shchiach b'inan. You need something which is not shchiach, something which is not common. Upas shchicha, pas is something which is common. V'daisa lo shchicha. But pounded grain, on the other hand, is not common, and therefore it could be used for an Erev. The reason for this is presumably the same as we said earlier, and that is that if you use something which is shchiach, something which is commonly used, so then it is not going to be evident that this is something which is being prepared specifically for Shabbos. However, if you're using something which is lo shchiach, something which is not a common dish, so this is something which looks as if it's being prepared specifically for Shabbos, and now you're able to fulfill the entire purpose of the Erev. So says the Gemara, the reason why pas is no good is because it is shchiach. Ika the Amri says the Gemara, now Gemara presents another version of Abaye. Amar Abaye, lo shanu ala tavshil, of a pas lo, that the Mishnah only says that what? An Erev tavshilin can be made of a tavshil, of a cooked food, but not pas. My timing, what's the reason? So, Ilem, if you're going to tell me, maybe the reason is because you require something that is not common, upas shchiach. And pas itself, bread is something is common. So, it says the Gemara, v'hadaisa lo shchiach, but that can't be, because daisa is not shchiach. According to this version of the Gemara, Abaye says that you may not go ahead and make an Erev with daisa, with pounded grain. So if you're going to tell me the reason is because you can only use something which is shchiach, that's not true. Because daisa is lo shchiach, but yet it is not roi for an Eruv. So Ella says, Gemara immediately the Malafis Bina. Rather, the reason is because we require something which accompanies bread, upaslo malafta. Pas, bread is not something which accompanies bread, it is bread, it's the staple food itself. But Daisa Nami lo malafta, says the Gemara, and a tabshil, it's made of pounded grain, is also not malafis. Tamar Abzeira, Hani Vabloi Tipshoi, the Ochli Nahama Benahama. That he would say that what, those people from Bavel, they're foolish because they eat bread together with bread. And so this would explain, according to this version of the Gemara, we understand why Daisa cannot be used for an Eruv, because it is not something, it is not immediately Malafes. Continues the Gemara, Tanur Rav Chiya taught the following in the Braisa, Adoshim Shebeshule Kedera. If you have lentils that are on the bottom of a pot, says Rashi, Shinashar below Miskavin, they were left there unintentionally. You didn't intentionally place them there, but they're on the bottom of the pot. Somei chaleya mishumei ruv tevshilin. A person can rely on them for the purpose of the Erev Tevshilin. Says Rashi, he can be somei chaleya me'erv yomtiv, v'shem Erev for the purpose of the Erev. V'lo amrina, we don't say luchashiva yubatli. We don't say that what, they're not important, and they're considered to be batel. No, we say that they're chashiv enough to be used for an Erev. Says the Gemara, v'hani mili de'ispuhu kezayis. But this is only true if there is enough that amounts to the shear of a kezayis. So there has to be a substantial amount, and not an insignificant amount. But if it's already the size of a kezayis, so then we don't say that it's butter. And the Gemara says another similar teaching of Rabbi Yitzchak Peredo of Yehuda, shamnune shalgabi hasakin goro, that a person go ahead and scrape off shamnunis, the fat that is on a knife, v'somech le'meshur tavshilin. And he could even rely on this for an Erev, v'hanimili d'ispu kezayis, but here again, this is only true if there is at least a kezayis there, but if it's a smaller amount than that, then this cannot be used for an Erev. So now the Gemara continues and teaches another halacha, which we're going to see is relevant to the dinim of an Erev tashila. Amar vasi marav, dogim ketanim aluchim. If you have small fish that are salted, ein bahem yishum bishulei nachrim. They are not subject to the law of Bishulei Nachrim, also known as Bishalakum. What's Bishalakum? Says Rashi, Shegazru Chachamim b'Bishulei Nachrim Mishum Chasnus. The Chazal made a gezeira that a person is not permitted to go ahead and eat foods that were cooked by a non-Jew because of a concern that it would lead to intermarriage. Val Shenecha Shukamoshu Huchai, and anything which is eaten in its raw form, Lo Gazru Al Bishulo. So Chazal did not include in the gezeira that you can't eat this when it is cooked. The cave and shenecha kamoshu chai, because since this would normally be consumed while it's in its uncooked raw state, ain't a bishul, so it's not considered bishul. The lo ahadi mida, because you haven't really accomplished anything. Nothing has changed through the application of heat, because even though there may have been some transformation, but since levaisa, you eat this in its raw state, so it's not considered to be enough of a bishul for the purpose of asking mishum bishulakum. Ve'ilu necholin ayidei mochon chayiv. And we see that these particular types of fish are eaten in the raw state once they are salted. And so therefore, Rav says they are not subject to the law of bishulakum. Omer of Yosef, Rabbi Yosef says, v'mtsola nachri. However, if a nachri roasted them, somech aleihem mishum eruvei tavshilin. That if they were roasted, one can rely on them for the purpose of Eruve Tavshilin. So Rav Yosef is teaching us that although this act of roasting these fish is not considered to be an act which would forbid these fish, Mishum Bishalakum, it is considered to be an act of Vishal for the purpose of saying that this is something which qualifies as a Tavshil for the purpose of Erev Tavshilin, right? We said Erev Tavshilin has to come from a Tavshil, so maybe you would have thought, well, since the fish are eaten in raw, and therefore they're not subject to the law of Bishalakum, so maybe if a guy would go roast them, so it cannot be used as a Tavshil for the Erev Tavshilin. Comes along with Yosef and it says that he can. V'yavdinu nachri kasa d'harsana asr. If the Nachri made them into a Kasa d'harsana, so it is going to be prohibited. What is Kasa d'harsana? So Rashi says, this is Matugan b'shuman kirbe dogim b'kemach. This is something that is made from he fries it in the fats of the innards of fish together with flour. So this is going to be osir. Says Rashi, the kemach ein nechol kamo shuchai. Flour is not eaten in its raw state. So this is now subject to the law of Bishalakum. So says the Gemara, at the bottom of the Yom, Pshita,
Obviously, since you will not eat raw flour, so obviously this is now going to be an Asur B'Shalakum. So what is a Chiddush Rabbi Yosef? Yevdinu Nochi Kaseh D'Harsan Asur. So Mal D'Tema says the Gemara on the top of the next Amud. Perhaps you would have said Harsan Ikur, that really the main part of this dish is the fat of the fish. That's really the Ikur ingredient. The fact that this kemach, that this flour is okay, that's just meant to hold it together, but it's not the main ingredient. And so therefore you would have said that there's no Isur B'Shalakum. Kamash Malon comes along, Rabbi Yosef, and says, no, kimcha ikar, that really the flour is considered to be the main ingredient, and so therefore, since this dish requires flour, so therefore, it is subject to the isur of bishulakum. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Abba, Eruv Tavshilin Tzrichim Kazayis, that an Eruv Tavshilin requires the minimum amount of a kazayis in order to be fit for the mitzvah. Yibaylu, says the Gemara, kazayis echad l'kulan, o dilma kazayis l'kol echad v'yechad. When we say that a kazayis is required, does that mean that one kazayis is necessary for everyone who is going to participate, who wants to rely on this eruv? Or dilma, perhaps, no. Kazayis l'kol echad v'yechad, that one kshir kazayis is necessary for each and every one. So is one kazayis good for everyone, or do you need a separate kazayis for each person who's represented, who's relying on this eruv? So Toshma says, the Gemara, the Amar of Abam Rav, so the Gemara answers the question based on a statement from Rav that an Erev Tavshilin requires a Kazayis, whether the Erev is going to be for one person or if it's going to be for 100 people, it doesn't make a difference. Says Rashi, Dai Lehem VeKazayis, it is sufficient to have one Kazayis, regardless of how many people are going to be Someich on this Erev.